Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Around the NFL podcast has trouble with clock management.
From the Chris Wesley podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I have some heroes with me. Greg Rosenthal, Colleen Wolfe. Mark Sessler has come down with a case of genoitis, so he won't be making it in this afternoon. But, Greg, I want to tell you something.
Yes.
Class act right here. I am. I'm magnanimous. I'm the Zeuser. You know, that's what Tugboat does.
And so humble.
You're into your fourth person right
now. I am. I have another name.
How many walls have we broken?
On the Power Rankings podcast, Colleen knows. I'm taking it from the New York Post, what they used to call Alec Baldwin, the Bloviator. The Bloviator is going to say... Good job, Greggy. You deserve the moment that you got on Monday with Geno Smith, and I know you talked about it at length on the Monday Night Recap. I was told by a sparrow it was 37 minutes long.
Wow.
But you know what?
I mean, the sparrow could just be like, look at your phone. Yeah.
The sparrow has genoitis.
Monday Night Football, we're not just going to do recaps. We're going to add a little extra.
I love it.
It was mostly Geno.
I love it. You deserve that. You should have went 6 hours because God knows that's probably the last time you're going to have a moment like that. So enjoy it.
Wait, that doesn't feel magnanimous.
Well, you know, I'm just also being real that was a nice time for Geno. Maybe when he went 4 of 8 for 47 yards with no points in the second half, maybe that wasn't worth the celebration. But – obviously played very well overall, and that was a big payoff for you on the Geno coaster.
Look at what you're trying to do here. They only had 7 drives. They had multiple first downs on literally all of them until that last 3 and out where they got a case of Pete Carolitis, got a little too conservative at the end.
The quote that also, again, the Bloviator's being magnanimous here. Great quote by Geno at the end of the game when he was speaking to ESPN.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
It's a good line.
That's right.
It's a good line.
And he said after in the press conference, they asked about it, and he said that's off the dome right there. That's straight bars right there.
And did you see the NFL freestyling?
He was feeling
usually
himself.
You don't that when you throw for 47 yards and produce 0 points in the second half of a game that you won by a miracle.
What are you trying
because
to
of a
talk?
Meltdown by the coaching staff and red zone offense of the opposing team. You usually don't speak like Buster Douglas after knocking out Mike Tyson in Tokyo. But I also have to say that's part of the Geno experience. And again, this is not about me. It's about you and
it's
your quarterback.
It's not about me. It's nice to see him finally get an opportunity after 8 years in the wilderness where no one gave him a shot.
It's about me.
That quote was peak Geno, though, when you look at the whole of the game. You have to admit, he could not get a point.
What are you talking about? Like,
right
he
now.
Should somehow be somehow less excited?
He's the banner on NFL's Twitter handle?
Yes.
That's
and
amazing.
And it says, left on red by Geno Smith.
Oh, I mean, because it wasn't just them winning the game. He played fantastic.
Well, he sort of wrote me off.
Yeah.
Say us.
He played fantastic.
He was dealing.
He was dealing. He was making good. But
very
it was
good
also
first
the
half.
Fact that
very good first
it
half.
Was the fact that the crowd is chanting his name. I mean, that was some Rudy.
There are
stuff
a couple
right
things
there.
Going on. Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Multiple times. One time they were chanted MVP.
Wow.
Yeah, there's something cooking here, okay? There's multiple things. And, again, this is, again, not to denigrate. One, the Seahawks fans, obviously in their feelings about Russ leaving and playing in that game. So you're naturally going to gravitate towards the quarterback. The other part is what Greggy's been doing this summer, and I respect it. It's been fun. You've been kind of, in a winking way, getting all behind Geno. That's actually caught fire a little bit, and people are kind of into the let's enjoy the Geno Smith experience, as unexpected as it was. So you put it together, and you're getting a Geno Smith MVP chant, and I'm okay with it. It's fine. It's cool.
Did you get chills at
did
any
you
point
enjoy it?
Watching and hearing the Geno chants?
I was doing the Channel 5 in the UK coverage for the first time. It was the first game I got to do sitting next to Maurice Jones-Drew, and he could not have been more annoyed with me throughout the process. Like, he thought it was like some sort of bit early. Yes, Justin.
Who you guys
That's
root
who
for.
I grew up for. Now I'm just a professional. I actually
Please
can
stop it.
I root for all 31 teams that are equal, but then there's Geno Smith. That's like my one.
Yeah, we need to
I almost got up and walked off this Geno set.
I don't wait a second.
Yeah.
The second part of it is great, but can I hear the first part of that again?
Wait, what was it?
Who you guys
That's
root
who
for.
I grew up for. Now I'm just a professional. I actually
Please
can
stop it.
I root for all you, 31 teams that are equal.
Did you Did he call you out for being a Pats fan, and you said, that's who I used to root for growing up, but now I'm professional?
Ooh. It was a joke.
What is
You sit on a throne of lies.
What is that about? Don't be that guy.
That's Zeuser in the morning right there,
How
figuring
can you
that
not
out.
Understand
what is that?
That this entire thing is a joke when I said I'm a fan of one team and that's
that
Geno
part
Smith.
Was a joke. I think
no,
you're
the
trying
whole-
I
the
think
whole
you're
thing.
Listen, I've been on this beat. You've been trying to recraft your narrative a little bit.
No,
I admitted it. It's because I'm sitting next to at that time another Pats fan in Kayla Burton. But you got to enjoy these moments.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think like it was nice to see Geno enjoying the moment with the fist pumps and going crazy. And it was nice to see Pete Carroll enjoying the moment. After the game, Pete Carroll said something that I thought was so telling. He said, "Tonight you saw our system. Our system succeeded."
Aww.
And like that's like a little bit of a dig on Russell Wilson, certainly. It's a little bit of the reason why he likes Geno Smith. But it's also the reason why I think Geno's done really well in PFF grading over the last 3 years. And this is getting a little wonky. But I think Geno Smith right now is like a very much a do what the coaches ask him to do quarterback. Make the right reads, play very conservative for the most part, do what he's told, hold the ball and take a sack if you're going to, and that's it. Like, 1, 2, 3, play smart, like, don't make mistakes. That's sort of who he is at this moment, and Pete Carroll loves
This is
it.
Your moment. I'm not taking it away. But I could also say I've watched a lot of Geno Smith football. Enjoy
He was 23 years old and 22 years old.
Just enjoy this week, because that version that you saw in the second half and his limited snaps, admittedly, where he doesn't feel pressure, where he can't move the ball, can't move an offense, this is not
they
a story that's going to
seven drives
end well.
In the entire game, and they moved it more than 50 yards and more than half
and
of
by
them.
The way,
and what do you want?
Last week when I said my sandwich prop was that the Seahawks will have a top 5 pick, I was told by you, Greg, that it wasn't hanging onions at all. So now you're going the other way and saying that you're in.
I am in. I picked them to go about 9-8.
You said that was a bad sandwich prop because it wasn't gutsy enough.
Well, because in Vegas, I disagree with it, but in Vegas they have the second or third lowest number. So you're with the commoner.
Greg, you should have your moment. I think you should bask in it.
You guys better be careful. I mean, Mark, we might not see Mark on Tuesdays because this could be a weekly thing if they go 8-9-8.
When do they play? When do they play? What day next week? Sunday game?
It's a Sunday game. That's true.
Can you fill in on the flagship show in case the Seahawks win again, Colleen?
Potentially. I must check my schedule. It is very busy.
I actually think this might be the last primetime game they gave the Seahawks because the Seahawks are supposed to be so terrible. That was it for Geno Smith in primetime, I believe.
They play the Niners.
There'll be a lot of Sundays
next week.
When do they play the Niners?
1 o'clock Sunday.
And they got the Niners again in primetime.
Or 4 o'clock.
Well, in week 15, so we got to pick a We'll have to pick up that date potentially as well. Anyway, here we go. Good show today. You had your moment, and you deserved it, and you got it. And I just moved out of the way and gave it to you. Don't worry about 4 of 8 for 47 yards in the first half.
You,
second
you,
half,
you're
don't
not
worry
moving
about
out
it.
Of the way.
It has nothing to do with that. That because that's not what it's about. It's all those checkdowns in the first half and a couple of busted
stewing.
Coverages.
You and Mark were stewing at home. You could see. You just tweeted out, like, I'm so out on the Broncos because they let you down. So
I am out on the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And it's sure. I don't need Geno to have a moment like that. But, again, I gave it to you.
You didn't give it to
it's
me.
It's more.
The crowd in Seattle gave it to me. Geno gave it to me. I wish I could have stepped up in such a big career moment like Geno did last night. I was a mess on that podcast afterwards. I didn't know what I was talking
about. The Broncos.
It was a
blinded
mess.
By Geno.
You think you were a mess. The Broncos were a mess. Oof. In week one. And I was mad. More than Geno, I projected them as a big-time team. I had them at number 8 in the power ranks entering the season, and all that stuff feels naive after watching how their game operation and red zone and forget about the midfield stuff at the end of the game.
Oh, my God.
I would be very nervous right now if I'm a Denver fan, because that looked like a coach who was shook up and in the weeds in a big spot. Not a good way to start your career.
Just a disaster at the end. Oof.
Right. Well, at least they didn't use those timeouts, you know. It's like, who
still
needs
saving
those?
Them for later.
That the one take, and we got to move on, because again, check out the Monday night recap with Greg and Steven Ruiz. But everyone, there was a hot take like, oh my God, I can't believe Nathaniel Hackett chose a 64-yard field goal over his new quarterback that just signed a huge deal. Nah, bro, that's not what happened. The guy was shook. He was got caught up in the moment and kind of blew the time, and he didn't. And Wilson didn't help him either. So I don't think he chose a 64-yard field goal. I think he got caught up in the moment and got a little lost with the clock. And then that's the only thing that was left to present itself.
And he was also saying that he didn't really, like, trust his offense, essentially, because of all of the issues that they had in the red zone.
Russ saying after the game, I believe in everything, too, was just funny. I believe in everything.
Didn't he almost say go
coach.
Hawks at the end?
I believe in the decision. I believe in everything. And I actually kind of believe that Russell Wilson literally believes
in
everything.
He was like in a tuxedo almost, and I felt really, really terrible for him in that moment.
Coming up on today's show, yes, that was the final game of week one. We will kind of put a bow on week one while looking forward to what's to come with a new segment we call and for love of our UK and surrounding territory listeners. Color me intrigued. Color with an O-U-R.
Yep. There we go.
That's a little shout out. You know, we took down some of the prices of the tickets for the London show.
Oh, I heard.
Because we love our friends in London. We'll be there in, what, a week and a half, Greggy?
That's crazy. Is that true? Yeah, 2.5 weeks.
Wait,
two and
really?
A half weeks. 2.5 weeks.
Truth.
Yeah, I'm like also so excited to go. I can't wait to go to London.
We're going to get to that. It's
maybe,
not too late.
Maybe next year.
Oh. You don't make us sad. You know we
That's
would love you
I'm
there.
Really high. Whoa.
All right. Before
that was, not approved that by was a drop. As a drop.
Before we get to color me intrigued,
when did I even say that?
And a Thursday night football preview, maybe the best Thursday night of the game of the year. Although I haven't looked at the next schedule, but so far I think
it's really good.
Chargers at Chiefs in Arrowhead. Let's get caught up on some news.
We got 3 timeouts, E. I might use one right here, E. Let's use one. No. Let's talk about this one. Let's talk about this one. They're gonna try to draw. They can try to draw them off sides. Might try to draw them off sides. E.
You don't have that
dummy
much time.
Snap count.
You don't want to waste that much time. I don't think.
Yeah, I think. I
wish you could see Peyton Manning just calling timeout the entire.
Yes, that's from the Manning cast at the moment where the Broncos let it all fall apart at midfield. Yeah, they. That was great theater there. I only saw it this morning. But, yeah, Manning almost reaching through the camera, trying to implore and help Nathaniel Hackett. And let's face it, Russell Wilson, too. Somebody's got to sense the moment. I got to say this, Connie and Greggy. I have, as a fan, I love the Manning cast. But I feel like ESPN kind of galaxy brained this one.
Yeah.
And now you have Aikman and Buck. And I know we've talked about this, but now it actually happened. Aikman and Buck are tremendous, arguably the best, and it's not so easy to switch away from them because they are the definition to me of a big game crew that I want to be calling a big game. It kind of puts you in a tough situation there as a fan.
I didn't like to be in that situation. It was much easier last year to pick the Manning cast and enjoy it. But
right.
then
Leave
I
it
felt
at that. You could piece that together.
No matter
you
what
want.
I was doing, I felt like I was missing out on something. So I had FOMO if I was on the Manning cast. I had FOMO if I was listening to Troy and Joe. Like, I didn't know what to do. And then I ended up, like, just missing parts of the game because I kept switching back and forth. Like, you know, it's not
a
great
thing. I think it depends on the quality of the
thing.
Game. That was a great game, you have to admit. Like,
very
the energy,
yes.
It felt like almost like as big as energy as a week one game could be. That's a Troy and a Joe game. If we get like a week nine kind of stinker, then you maybe switch over to the Manning cast.
Did Pete really say that was a victory for our system?
He said they
recovered two fumbles at the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
that's how the system works.
He might even say
punch outs.
I would guess he was talking about the offense. I don't know, but they very much are a bend but don't break defense that tries to force field goals. Not touchdowns and make big plays and win the turnover.
I don't like
battle.
To play this game, but
that is what they're about.
I don't like to play this game.
Greg.
You know, this is his day. Yeah, I don't like to play this game, but if these two teams play 10 times, the Broncos win that 8 times, right?
They have
You're doing the
8, right?
The least amount of allowing this to be the day. You're just making excuses.
Yeah, but listen, you got 38 minutes on Monday night. Somebody's got to come and push back.
I said
Mark couldn't get out of bed. I have to do it.
Where's Mark? I said like 20 minutes into that as I'm just like searching somewhere for a coherent point and my brain is completely mush. I did say to Steven, I am laughing sometimes when you're talking, Steven, because this is absolutely the most indulgent thing I've ever done as a member of the NFL meeting. Like, I know it. This is like where it all starts going downhill. I'm jumping the shark.
Greg, an excellent
right
point by you and a great article on the site.
This is a good app for the bot.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get you caught up with some injury stuff going on. We'll start in Dallas where Dak Prescott. All right. We know what happened. Late in that disaster opener against the Bucs, Prescott hit his hand, collided with Shaq Barrett, sustained a fractured thumb. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said on Tuesday that they will not place Dak on injured reserve, and he has the possibility to return from this broken thumb within 4 weeks. And that's a different timeline, Condi, than the 6 to 8 week window we had heard from people that cover the team. But he underwent surgery on the thumb, and they think he'll be back in a month. Let's see. They're going to need him because I think they're going to be lost without him.
Right. So if he is back in a month, which I think I heard someone say, I don't know if it was on our network or what, but someone said that Dak is known as a great healer, which I didn't realize that was something that you could be really good at. Like, you could be better at healing.
We heard that about Russell Wilson
other
last
people.
Year.
And exactly. Yeah. I remember
similarly, he missed
a great
four
healer.
Games.
And then didn't play well when he returned.
So now that was for mallet finger. That's what Russell Wilson had. That's a little bit different. I also have experience with mallet finger after Kurt Warner broke my finger. So it's all about the tendons. You
Do
know,
you want to clarify how he broke your finger? Because that could be taken different ways that people don't know the background.
Right. So at training camp, Kurt Warner threw me a pass.
Broke spiral.
On a post route. Right. And, you know, I caught it, broke my finger. Kept my nails. None of my nails broke.
He didn't like how you did a transition or
hands
something.
Hands catcher. I think it was a beautiful catch.
Yeah, high point of the ball. It was great. Anyway, Dak is obviously, that's a little different with the thumb and the ligament there. But if he only does miss 4 games, this is important because when you look at the schedule, they have the Bengals this week, then the Giants, then the Commanders, and then the Rams. But if he only missed those 4, he would be back in time for the Eagles on October 16th. But still, this is like 3 division games that are right there. And obviously, every other team in the division, aside from the Cowboys, won week one. So things are already a little dicey for the Cowboys. So
this
they definitely
got 1-4
back.
Written all over it to me. And then you bring back a quarterback who likely will be far less than 100% without a lot of practice reps. And then you get the Eagles, who, by the way, are in the driver's seat, Connie. We talked about it on the Power Ranking show today, which you check out. Even more so, they are in the driver's seat now in the NFC East. Greg, let's hope Dak comes back and balls out, because I've always said that I like when the Cowboys are interesting. It makes the league more fun. But this starts to get the whiff of one of those Cowboys seasons, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right. The season last time Dak was hurt, the initial prognosis from our guy Ian Rappaport was week 8 and week 10,
mm-hmm.
and that was after the surgery. You know, I don't want to source guess here. All I'm just saying is I think that information comes from good places, kind of like a reasonable medical outline. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's like Dak Prescott – who knows if he goes to Jerry and be like, I can get back, you know. It's like.
Or Jerry goes to him.
Right.
It's like, Jerry, you will be back right. for the Eagles game.
Jerry has been a very unreliable narrator when it comes to his own players in basically every way, but especially with injury timelines. And I think it should be pointed out, it got a little lost in that game, that was the worst game I've ever seen Dak Prescott play.
He was terrible.
He was so bad before he got hurt.
So it's like. Okay, Dak Prescott's got to return. I'm not expecting that Dak Prescott would struggle that much all year, but some of the factors that contributed to him struggling and the fact that in the second half of last season, I would say, was the worst I've ever seen Dak Prescott play in his entire career reminds me a little bit of how I was talking about Russell Wilson coming into last year because he struggled down the stretch the year before. I wanted to see, like, okay, is Dak going to be back to normal this year? Because he really wasn't Dak. And then you start out that way. You have the injury. I mean, all these games are going to be tough to win. Sure, it could be 1-4, but it could easily be 0-6. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the season could just
and their left guard is going to miss some time too, 2 to 4 weeks. So that offensive line was already shaky, and now maybe more so.
And
defense looks good.
The last time Dak sustained a serious injury, you at least had Andy Dalton there, who's a very good backup quarterback. Cooper Rush, yeah, it's a tough situation for the Cowboys.
Cooper Rush has so little respect league wide and. Somewhat from the Cowboys, that he was literally cut a week ago so that the Cowboys could carry only one quarterback on their roster, put him on the practice squad. They knew no one was going to sign him. Were just like, okay, can you do this for us? Can you hook us up, Cooper?
It's just hard to believe, one last thing real quick, that this was the number one scoring offense last year in the Super Bowl era.
Spend that cap space. Go get Jimmy. Just do it.
In other rosy injury return projection news, NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that T.J. Watt, the reigning defensive player of the year, is believed to not require surgery on that torn pec and could return before the end of October. Greg, and for the power rankings this week, the Steelers are very difficult for me to figure out where to slot them because that was a big division win, but the offense was underwhelming. And then if you take out Watt for any amount of times, you kind of see the Steelers as a middle of the pack team. This at least gives you hope that he could come back and anchor that defense because he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. That was spoon that stirs the drink, so that was the hesitation, but it is indeed straw. Mm-hmm.
Unlike the straw that broke the camel's back.
Different straw, different type, different thing altogether.
Spoons could do it too, I guess.
Yeah. It's sad because he's in the middle of a run like his brother used to have, the three defensive players.
Oh, don't put that on him.
Oof. I'm just saying the three defensive players of the year in a row, I would say this, he could, T.J. Watt could have been defensive player of the year in any of the last 3 years. He did win it one time. And it's sad to see. They're not totally done, but I thought they were a little thin in terms of their pass rush, their edge pass rush, even with him there. I mean, they've got maybe the best pass rusher in the league, but after that, Alex Highsmith, okay. They didn't feel that good about their edge rush, so they actually sent some draft picks to Denver and picked up someone there like that they're going to feel.
Jameer Jones.
Jameer Jones is not who I'm thinking of. I don't know why I'm blanking.
Oh, Malik Reed.
Malik Reed, who I always liked in Denver, and now they're happy they made that trade. But the reason they made that trade is because they didn't feel good about the position. And so that's definitely something you think of when you think of the Steelers, and they're not going to have in the next few weeks.
Let's go through the remaining kind of big injuries hanging out there before we get to our final thoughts on week one. Elijah Mitchell, the running back for the Niners. A lot of people thought a big year could be coming from him, but now a big roadblock. He'll miss up to 8 weeks, according to sources. He has a sprained MCL. Mac Jones, better news. He had the x-rays on the back after the loss to the Dolphins. It's believed to be back spasms, and there's a thought that he could play against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week two without T.J. Watt, so that at least gives him a chance, you would think. And finally, not so good news on Jamal Adams, who's dealt with injuries the last couple of years, really since coming over from the Jets to Seattle in that blockbuster trade. Early in Monday night's game, he suffered a tendon injury connected to his knee. It's believed, according to Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, to be a serious issue that will require surgery and likely end his year. It's a bummer. I know Jets fans have mixed feelings about Jamal Adams, but nobody wanted to see his career get sidetracked by injuries, so this sucks.
Yeah, it's 2021. He was out with the shoulder surgery. in 2020. He missed time with the groin injury. I mean, it's just like
finger issue, which is a serious issue for him.
And he's so good when he's healthy, but now it's been kind of an issue just keeping him on the field.
He was active in that game too. It was kind of a classic Jamal Adams game where a ball went off his helmet, which I feel like has happened to
many times,
a decent amount. And like Russell Wilson could have had a couple picks in that game. That was one of them. And their defense, to me, was totally built around him and Quandre Diggs, because you have all these second-year cornerbacks and rookie cornerbacks around them that look a little shaky, but you're using your two safeties in such a mature, sort of versatile way, and now you don't have it. That's a problem. And I think Elijah Mitchell's a pretty big problem, too. They're going to ask Debo. Debo is their leading rusher. Debo and Trey Lance.
He's going to get all that contract.
Have to pick up the slack, yep.
They have these different stipulations, these clauses. Also, Trey Lance is going to do a lot of running.
Grab Jeff Wilson in your fantasy leagues.
Do we have a problem?
Oh, Justin, our producer. Did you say something?
Oh, I was just saying you might want to grab Jeff Wilson in your fantasy leagues.
Yes, go ahead and do that. Let's take a break, and then we will talk about what has us color. Oh, you are intrigued. We're colored. We're colored.
You'll get there.
Color
get
me
there.
Intrigued.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
All right, we're back. Let's get into it. By the way, I mentioned it off the top of the show, around the NFL from London. Colleen's going to be there next year.
Totally.
But this year you're going to have me and Greg and probably Mark. And it's going to be a great show. Go to Ticketmaster, Around the NFL podcast. Join us from London. It's going to be a lot. Greg's already coming up with ideas.
I'm sending a cutout of myself. You guys can just put it in a chair. Maybe people could sign it. Leave me some notes so I can feel like I'm part of it.
I want not the 5'1" Connie cutout though. Uh-huh. I want a 7'3" Colleen cutout on the stage.
And I want it placed directly behind
Shaq-sized.
You. So it's just looking over your shoulder.
It's like when Sean Payton got suspended and he had the giant do your job sign at Saints headquarters. How about a Connie do your job sign on the stage?
I love that.
Actually,
yeah.
Let's make that happen, Justin Graver. Let's talk about that.
Okay. That will get me through this.
Color me
we'll
intrigued.
Take a picture with your little thing.
That's great. Yeah,
here we are. Color me intrigued. Week one is in the books. Who are the player? I mean, it could be anything. I went with three players.
Okay.
You take it wherever you want. Mm-hmm. What has you intrigued? Greggy, get us going. Mm.
I mean, I'm coloring outside the lines here. Than I
ooh,
guess,
bad boy.
He's the bad boy of NFL media.
I'm Bob Rossing it up here. I'm painting pretty pictures.
All right. Bob Ross was not a bad
pretty
boy.
Pretty little trees.
He
Was he?
I mean,
he was not a bad boy. He was not a bad boy.
I'm coloring in a little Chargers defense that I witnessed on Sunday.
Okay.
And really Monday when I rewatched this. And I think the Chargers defense has been something that's been more in my mind than in reality since Brandon Staley got there. But when you think about the plays that some of the linebackers were making, Drew Tranquil, who our good friend Matt Money Smith really pushed hard for me to go as the making the leap guy, getting deep in his coverage and making that interception. Asante Samuel Jr. with one of the best interceptions that will be made in the NFL all year on a guy he wasn't even covered. Like, he saw his buddy was, you know, in trouble covering Davante Adams down the season. He says, I'm just going to go help my buddy. That's a play that his father would have made. And then the way that they were using Derwin James.
Proud of me now, Dad.
Even without J.C. Jackson in the lineup, I think they felt comfortable using Derwin James in such a creative way all over the field. I know they've done that before, but, man, he was really great as a pass rusher in that game. And then finally, Khalil Mack. Like, that was the best Khalil Mack game. He seems to have it whenever he plays Derek Carr, his old friend, for whatever
That's
reason.
So true.
So I hope it lasts, you know, going into this week. But I really was amazed by, like, all the defensive pieces. If they're that good, they are right there with any Super Bowl contender.
Great performance. Really clamped down in the big spots in the second half. I do want to see it against the non-Derek Carr team, and let's not dump it on Derek Carr. But Joey Bosa has been on the record in the past saying that we know how to get to the Raiders offense, and that's by shaking up the quarterback, and the six sacks absolutely did that. How does it happen when not Derek Carr, but Patrick Mahomes or another great quarterback or better quarterbacks in the mix? I guess the Chargers, and I like the Chargers a lot too, but I need to see them put it together.
Some real players, though. And you know what, where they struggled so much throughout last year was their run defense. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the Raiders, but they
Another thing.
But how many games last season was there a first half where teams ran like 7 times for 14 yards? It was around that in this first half of this game. And it was the players that they signed, Austin Johnson and Sebastian Joseph Day, who were doing the playmaking, especially Johnson had a nice game.
I want to believe that the Raiders are good, though. I want to believe the whole narrative that that entire division is just as good as maybe we thought. We've only seen one game from it, but I would love to think that Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa are going to combine for a massive season together.
Why wouldn't they?
Right?
As long as they're healthy, they will. And it's like the rest of everything. I think they have a little more elsewhere than people realize.
You know, I agree with you.
Tranquil and Nasir Adderley and all these other secondary players.
Color me intrigued. Did you mention J.C. Jackson hasn't played yet?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big piece.
Even without him, yeah.
And if he returns maybe as soon as Thursday, that would be incredible to see him. I'm with you. Color me intrigued. Not color me convinced, but I like
That's
it.
Sort of intrigued.
What this is about.
Yeah.
Intrigued.
Yeah. Like how about you, Connie?
Okay, hold on. Give me the crayons, markers. What are we working with here?
What do you?
Sounds like a colored pencil.
Were you good at art as like?
Yeah,
a
I was supposed to be an art teacher, and then this happened. Very like total left turn.
You could do
both.
So
yeah, I am.
If you really love the kids, you'll do both.
That's exactly right. I would have been. I'm terrible with children. This would have been an awful career.
I feel like you would have been a really one of those art teachers that gets increasingly weird as their teaching career goes on. Like when they're young.
Well, I'm doing that without the art teacher part.
Right, when they're like a 24-year-old new teacher, they're very quiet and sweet. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they're 47 and tenured, they're f-ing crazy.
Yeah, I have like a zillion cardigans with like all sorts of like stickers and like pins all over them and wild glasses.
Just like a vacant smile at all times. She's like, what is going on behind those eyes?
Wild eyes.
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay. Anyway, I'm coloring some sunshine, some smiling faces. This is great. There's some rainbows. I love a good first impression. And that is exactly what A.J. Brown gave Eagles fans in his first game. Already setting franchise records, had the most receiving yards in a player's first game with Philadelphia, 10 for 155. He even said it's kind of overwhelming at this point to already set a club record. It's pretty crazy. They haven't had a dominant number one wide receiver like this have that output in so long. The Eagles offense put up 30-plus points, one of four teams to do it week one. Now, I'm also intrigued with this offense in general because Devontae Smith was so quiet. He was only targeted 4 times. He was held without a catch for the first time in his career. So you got to get them the ball. Even Nick Sirianni talked about that after the fact, because otherwise they're way too one-dimensional. But A.J. Brown, is it too soon to retire his number?
Well, yes, but also... You're right. There has not been. I was just thinking about it.
I just looked at Graver. That was mean.
Oh, yeah. It's too soon. Hey. It's too soon for Justin. You have to go back to Terrell Owens. That's the last time they had like a – I know peak DeSean Jackson was special, but he wasn't the same guy. I thought when I was watching the game yesterday, it was incredible watching him dig out a ball, a low throw from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, his ability to gain separation and make contested catches. He's going to make Jalen Hurts so much better.
Right. It's the same thing he did with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is great, but Ryan Tannehill without A.J. Brown is not as great. Just because a lot of those catches that he makes, like Westbrook Akina, is not going to make. It's simple.
The way that the light is shining down on Graver's face right now in the control room, I'm so sorry.
The good news for Justin is that new number one wide receiver in Tennessee is Robert Woods. And that, you know, that one catch he did make in week one was
pretty encouraging. Really,
I'm not nice worried hands. About Devontae Smith at all, by the way, either. He actually had a kind of a bad game, a couple of those. Target, you know, he did have a drop, and the other one was a little sloppy. But like, he's such a good player. It's like this happens in a 17-game season.
He's just never been out of the mix like that before.
Right. I'm just saying that I think it happens, and they'll make sure, and I think they'll be very conscious of it to not let it happen again.
Let me throw out another veteran receiver that has a track record of excellence: Julio Jones.
Ooh.
Color me intrigued.
Do you want the markers?
I will take the. Well, those are the really messy ones you would get in art class. It was like almost like acrylic.
Oh, paint?
No, it was. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
On that. But I heard and read, and we talked about it occasionally on the show. I think Greg, you were talking about it as well. Julio Jones looks good. He looks fast. He's running a 3.740. He's gonna be the Julio Jones that you remember in 2016. Like all that stuff. And I was like, all right, that's all cool. But I don't care about any of that. I want to see what it looks like in live game action with first team defenses against him and the lights on. And he looked like Julio Jones against the Cowboys. Now, here is the disclaimer that the problem with Julio Jones, I don't think even in his doomed 1 year, where was he last year?
Oh, Graver.
Jeez,
I'm sorry.
Piling on this week. I'm sorry, Justin.
Well, it's not like they gave up draft picks for him or anything.
Like, he was never right physically, and that will continue to be a concern because there's going to be a idea now that you saw him great on Sunday Night Football in week one. He'd be like, that's who he is now. He's back, and that's what you're going to get for 4 months, and he's going to have 1,400 yards receiving. I'm not going that far, but I'm intrigued that he really did look like Julio Jones. That deep ball where he gained separation, he has incredible hands, always has. And in general, you look at who his quarterback is, you look at Chris Godwin's injury and how that's going to clear up more targets for him to find a role in this offense immediately. He only had 3 catches for 69 yards in the game, but he really did flash to me in week one as a guy that will be an impact player if – his lower body holds up.
He looked like his younger self. Like I caught myself wondering how old he was, and I do this every single year. I'm like, but he's only 33, and I know that that's old in football years, but
especially
it seems like
wide receiver, that's pretty old.
It seems like he's 43. It seems like he has been in the league for
so long.
Because
he's been on the injury report for 4 years.
But he looked in that moment on this team with Tom Brady, he looked different. And I'm just wondering how long that will last, how long we'll see that.
Sometimes I think usage tells you a lot. The fact that they ran him twice tells me a lot.
They're easing him in.
No. That they gave him 2 carries. I mean, how many times in the last few years has the coach thought he's explosive enough to run him? And he got 17 yards on those 2 carries. Like, I think you can just tell eye test. I was talking about that from the practice footage they were showing. Just he is moving with a little more explosion than he has in the past. And I think he's someone that reputation-wise has gotten by without a lot of practice time, that he didn't necessarily need it without necessarily being the guy that he's talked about it, that put in a ton of work in the off season and everything to like keep his body right, all that stuff. Maybe he came into the season with like a little bit different attitude. And I think one of the reasons he's been so good is that he understands the game better than 98% of the receivers out there. And to play with a guy like Tom Brady, like when he was playing with Matt Ryan, who's also on like another level, I think that's just going to help him a lot.
And you know, kind of the bit that angers some people in the analytics community, that listen, Oh, he's really fast. How fast does he move? What did it say? What did it say? The next gen stats. 21 miles per hour. That's what all fast guys run. 21 miles per hour. Guess what? On that 48-yard bomb he brought in, 20.62 miles per hour.
Round it up.
He really is. We won't round this one up. We'll keep that one there because that shows, it's not just talk. It's not just beat reporters that are seeing this elite athlete and wanting it to be something else. He really does have the legs right now of 27-year-old Julio Jones. Will it stay that way? Connie?
Next Gen Stats, Julio Jones records two of his top three speeds since 2020 in week
one. There you go. So he's obviously feeling good. Let's hope it stays that way. Okay, one more round, and then we'll do a quickie.
Okay. Let's go to Atlanta, where
A-Town.
You know, I gave Mark too much grief about being so high on the Falcons when they lost that game anyways. There was a lot to be excited about. I think primarily their rookie receiver, Drake London, who was out of action for most of the preseason and training camp. And I just thought you can kind of tell right away that him on those in-breaking routes was great. For such a big guy to move like he does. I think there was concerns that he wouldn't be able to get open at the NFL level, and he just looks really smooth. And I think when you combine that sort of suddenness that he has, more than I really expected in terms of getting open, you see him doing it against good cornerbacks in Atlanta and really making himself available for Marcus Mariota. You suddenly combine that with Mariota and Cordarrelle Patterson.
I know.
Who, to me, are, even though Mariota's not a perfect quarterback, can do a lot of different things, and they were leaning into him as an option quarterback and a running quarterback, which they didn't do enough of in Tennessee, and then Kyle Pitts. It's a lot for Arthur Smith to play with. I think the Falcons' offense...
Moratorium on bringing up Tennessee's shortcomings.
Color me intrigued.
That's a great one.
Where did Arthur Smith, where did he come from?
Oh, no, stop.
You know what, though? I think the NFL's caught up to Marcus Mariota's skill set. I don't think the NFL was really running offenses in a way that could take advantage enough of what he could do well.
They weren't
early
ready
in
for
his career.
Him.
I also think he looks bigger and stronger.
He does look a little bigger. Or the Titans, because when Mike Mularkey was a head coach in Tennessee, Marcus ran a lot, and then he got hurt a lot. And then Mike Vrabel took over and said, we need a starting quarterback to stay healthy. I am really worried. Mariota's not even like sliding or getting out of bounds. He's like running into contact.
He seems to be running better than he's ever run. I think he just looks really strong and athletic. But either way, it's a lot to play with. And I think London is weirdly the key piece, I think, here. Because I think if you have a real one to build everything else off of, that really makes the rest of it more easy.
Every time you say London, I am triggered.
Yes.
Yeah, like, can we?
2023, we got you there. Mariota does look like a beefy thick boy right now. I think I hope he could absorb the punishment. I think a lot of people.
He's definitely at the weight room. Looks beefy.
He does, but he looks fast, too. He looks faster to
my
me.
My takeaways, and I thought this could be possible, and we talked about it, like what Weishaupt told us entering the season, that maybe he was in a position to do surprise some people because he was just kind of in the shadows here. Cordarrelle Patterson, the fact that he looks exactly like the guy that, you know, really did things on offense last year. What you said with London, Kyle Pitts was quiet in week one, but there are things here. Now, I'm intrigued as well, Greg. A little cold water. Mariota also blew that game. And it, with the fumble inside the 10 when they were about to go up 30-10, I believe, in the fourth quarter. And then on third and short at midfield, you just need a first down, and he fumbles the snap again and blows up that play.
This is about London. It's about Drake London, and it's about my enjoyment on Sundays. And this was something
I'm looking at this lower third bar, and it says the Falcons' offense might be watchable.
I am just saying they are going to be watchable. This was something we went back and forth, actually, last year. I kept saying, you know what? On the right week, the Falcons' offense is kind of watchable.
No, that was wrong.
But here's why, though, because Arthur Smith, I think, was in his bag and kind of making it happen, and now he's in it, and he's got a few more pieces that make sense.
But you can't retroactively get that take and say that was right last year, too.
That was where I was coming from, though, that it was the beginning of something. It was Patterson, it was Pitts, and it was Arthur Smith, and now you add a couple
more
pieces.
Listen, we can write their obituary at this point. We can write them off.
I saw that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Various again. We'll get back to work.
He is fired up, and I love it. If they could go 3-14, if they're fun to watch, that's all I care about.
This is way better than the Geno quote to me. You buried us in May. Bury us again. We don't care. We'll get back to work. Arthur Smith.
So good.
You don't. Arnie Smith is not a guy that strikes you as a guy that's going to drop a hammer quote like that.
Mm-mm.
And I'll give him a little pop for that.
Yeah, that's why it was impressive. Loved it.
All right, another one, Connie.
That was the Colleen pot. All right, here we go. give me my crayons and give me the purple one specifically. I have
old wacky Miss Wolf up to her old tricks.
I gotta sharpen this for a second.
Jeez,
there we go.
When is she gonna retire?
Never.
She's nuts.
Okay, we talked about this a little bit on the Power Rankings podcast,
which by the way will be in the ATN feed this week and this week alone. If you want to, listener, just check it out, see if you like it or not, and then if you do like it, it will be living on its own on the NFL Power Rankings feed wherever you get your podcast.
And you can watch it as well.
Absolutely.
All sorts of things. You can interact
NFL
with
fast.
It.
I mean, if you've got the NFL channel
YouTube,
on fast, streaming, forget it. We're there like so much.
So we talked a little bit about this earlier on the Power Rankings pod, but color me intrigued. The Vikings.
Oh, saucy.
I am so intrigued by the Vikings. Now, I talked, I think, on this pod last week about my love for the Colts, and this is sort of my NFC version of that.
Okay.
That I have such hard eyes for the Vikings, and all
have?
Of hard eyes, like
never
the
heard that
heart
before.
Eye emoji. Yeah.
Oh, they said hard eyes.
I did too. It wasn't that.
I need to enunciate
wasn't that hard
more.
A T? Yeah.
Heart
I
eyes.
That
I got like hard eyes.
I got and hard eyes.
Too.
Everybody.
That made sense too to me. But go on.
All right. So my hard eyes saw Kevin O'Connell, who in his head coaching debut called a great game. It was so balanced. And that was one of the knocks on this team. 28 runs, 32 passes, plus that sack. But still, it was a clean game. No turnovers for the offense. Even when you look at Kirk Cousins, 8.2 yards per attempt.
Mm.
Next to Aaron Rodgers' 5.3.
Oh,
I just think that
stick it to him.
This team, the fact that they have Justin Jefferson and the way that he is playing right now, they can. I'm buying all
she's
of it.
Buying.
I'm buying
she's
everything
the
that they're
eyes.
Selling. I absolutely love it. I love Za'Darius Smith with Daniil Hunter on this team. I think that Za'Darius he could not wait for this week one to play the Packers, and the two of them together, that defense.
Nobody making eye contact with him because he had a back injury in the hallway.
Look at me in the eyes, Rodgers.
look at my marble countertop eyes.
He had hard eyes.
Hard.
Anyway, that defense was absolutely abysmal last
Great
year,
call.
And it looks good now.
This the craziest stat of week one I stumbled into on Twitter this morning was Mac Jones, who just finished his rookie year, one game into his second season, has had four games in his career where his defense gave up seven or less points. Kirk Cousins has been in the league since 2012, and Sunday was the second game that ever happened to him.
That's crazy.
So you don't really realize it because there's so much criticism. He's such a lightning rod that whenever things go wrong for a Kirk Cousins team, it's like, oh, it's Kirk Cousins.
It's, Kirk.
It's the offense, or it's the coach, or it's their relationship. But maybe he's never really been with a good defense. Now, is it too soon to say the Vikings have a good defense? Yes, it is. But at the same time, that was a great way to start their season. They are definitely frisky, at the very least.
Love.
O'Connell, I think, used Justin Jefferson in a way that reminded me of how Matt LaFleur used Davante Adams last year. Mm. And you can still have the same player. And even though Jefferson was active last year, he wasn't maximized as much. LaFleur's genius, if you want to call it that, like more than anything, was he spent like all week just trying to scheme up new ways to get the right matchups for Davante Adams. Like that was his focus every week because he knew that's his best player. That's where the defense is going to focus. And it seems to me that that's what O'Connell is doing, putting him in ways that they couldn't match up Jaire Alexander, putting him in ways that you're going to get him open, and that the whole offense is about O'Connell thinking like, how can I just get Jefferson off, because there's kind of no answer for him when he's in the right matchup.
Yeah. Jefferson, after one of his many big plays in that game, told the media afterwards, like, once he was running and caught the ball, he looked around. There was nobody around me.
Oh, my God.
And so it was a masterful scheme of
they play the Eagles.
A brilliant player. And by the
good
way,
game. Good
ooh,
game.
That's fun. That's a fun game. An Eagles team that gave up 35 against the Detroit Lions. So.
And didn't draft Justin Jefferson. So.
Well, you got A.J. Brown.
Right.
You can
Jalen Reagor returns to Philadelphia as a Viking.
Right. Listen, I could have had Patrick Mahomes, but I got Christian Hackenberg. Like, we could all go back and talk about what we have and don't have.
Right.
All right. One more for Zeuser. Color me intrigued. Old wacky Miss Wolf down in classroom 6B.
I was terrible at art. This is triggering for me. I was like, you know, the worst kid in the class and just wanted to like move on.
Do
from
ink
when it was required.
Cut paper is another good medium.
Come with me. I want to take you behind the velvet ropes. Come here. Look at that. Look at that little baby.
Is that 8 pounds, 7 ounces.
Oh, I thought this was the kicker club.
8 pounds, 7 ounces. Innocent, filled with life and joy. Just a little baby. Tiny little baby. A rookie in life. Look how sweet he is. But, that looks like a strong leg he's got. I wonder if he could. Wonder if he could do something. Wonder if Cade York, the little baby boy at LSU,
yes,
can do something in our league. Welcome. Come on down, kid. I don't know if you're old enough to drink, but you're coming to the Kickers Club. Out of the nursery, to the back, behind the velvet ropes, into that special room. Bottle service.
Bottle service for the baby. Love it.
Nailed it. Thank you, Miss Wolf. 6B. How, and I know, whatever, the Browns.
YouTuber, fast listeners, you got to check us out on video here because it is blowing up in the club. The lights are flashing.
The club is going off. The Cleveland Browns identified they needed to find a kicker they could trust. Mm-hmm. So they used a fourth round pick on Cade York. And again, I don't know why more teams don't do this. Evan McPherson was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, and they don't get to the Super Bowl without him. The Browns now used a premium draft pick, a mid-round draft pick, on a kicker who all he did in his first game ever was go 4 for 4, two of two on extra points, and a 58-yarder at the gun to beat Baker Mayfield. That's unbelievable. Color me intrigued on not just Cade York having a cannon for a right leg, but also on the league finally catching on that don't be just because Roberto Aguayo.
That's who I was just going to say
for the Bucks 10 years ago or whatever. Like, this is a major aspect of a team. And if you love a guy in the pre-draft process, don't wait for him to fall through the cracks. Go get him because he might just turn an average team into a playoff team, which I think if the Browns up going down that road, this kid could play a huge role in it.
He was nails. His first NFL game, and that kick from 58 yards would have been good from 70 yards.
I honestly think that. I think that was a kick. I wish it had the NBC SNF kicks thing.
Do love that.
It hit more than halfway up the net. It was smoked, and every one of his kicks was just nails. So
yeah. Hard eyes.
Hard eyes, marble eyes for Cade York. Just
I'm with you. Like the whole rookie cooker thing, like one of the best draft picks Bill Belichick's ever made was Steven Gostkowski as a fourth round pick to replace Vinatieri.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's worth the gamble because people are so precious in our league with mid round picks, like fourth round picks, fifth round picks. They're afraid to give one up. It's like, I'll trade this guy if I can get one more fourth rounder. And then half these guys are cut by their second training camp. When you have a Cade, I don't know anything about Cade York in his college career at LSU.
LSU star. He was going to be a baller in the NFL.
Just give
it was
Justin
obvious.
This.
Imagine if the Titans had Cade York instead of Randy Bullock. They'd be 1-0.
There you go.
Right.
And again,
in the mustache that Cade York is sporting shows a lot of confidence.
Just because he's
trendy.
A kicker. If he's a star, he's a star, and he's a star, and the Browns might have a star at place kicker after years in the wilderness in that department. All right. Let's do a real quick one, and then we'll get to TNF.
All right. Real quick. Color me intrigued. The Bears holder was called for unsportsmanlike for blotting the field with a towel.
Yeah,
color
that was
me
weak.
Intrigued.
By the rule book?
Don't understand it, and I think it's dumb. The penalty took the Bears out of field goal range instead of potentially putting 3 points in to cut the lead there. I don't know.
Could he wipe the ball? You just can't
Listen, yeah,
you can't do it.
He could have, I guess, like done something with his hand. I mean, think about it. When there's snow on the ground, you're brushing the snow out of the way, but you can't blot the field with a towel.
And the Patriots famously brought out that snow plow. I think
won a game.
Unfair advantage, I guess.
And by the way, Bears fans, don't get too upset about that because the rain is the same reason you won in week one. Mm. How about you, Greggy?
Ooh, that's got to be sensitive. Where did you put them up to the power rankings?
I moved them up from 32 to 25.
Because, oh. Well, then you cave to the sheeple.
What do you
know?
Mean? That's a nice
win.
I'm just saying, if ever there was a win that was, you can just throw that entire game out. That was it.
Well,
so that was just like a weather.
I threw him a little bit of a bone. Okay, but that's listen.
I thought you might bury him, Cuban.
No,
it's a Dan Hansis shout out.
Thank you, Paul Rudd. He understands. Yeah. He deserves some.
He had to leave some room for like the Jets and stuff on the back end. Well.
Color me intrigued just quickly by Juice, by Jarvis Landry, as one of the best free agent signings in the NFL. Another veteran that, to me, is just moving in a different way than he has in a few years, where he's always been on the injury report with back injuries or knee injuries and all that. My God. The sideline throw that Jameis Winston made to him was one of the best throws of the week. Jameis had some absolute gems in that game. But the way Landry's getting in and out of his breaks, and you know exactly where he's going to be, and even making plays after the catch like he used to, that receiver group is so much better, so fast. And he, to me, could be such a huge part of it.
Yeah, same thing with Julio Jones. As long as they can keep him healthy, he's going to be a difference maker.
They signed him for $3 million. That's going to end up being one of the best free agent moves.
Great move by the Saints. And I will throw out over in the NFC West, safety Talanoa Hufanga.
Ooh.
Did you guys happen to see Hufanga in action? I want to give the 49ers credit because I don't think they get enough. They are kind of a factory in pumping out defensive playmakers and guys that are ballers. And I know it's a little early to say this with Hufanga, but he's a safety against the Bears. He was everywhere. And I'm not usually the type of football fan that clocks like a safety doing things, but he was everywhere. He was all around the ball. He had 11 tackles, 9 were solo, 2 tackles for a loss, an interception. He was the highest graded defender against the Bears, and that 49ers team has some really good defenders that were making plays in that game as well. So, you know, he's a second-year player, I believe. And if you add their ability to continue to create talent, that defense, which is an underrated defense also, by the way, they're going to be fine. That was a stupid game from the perspective of a 49ers fan because the way the weather worked out. But that defense, at the very least, will be fine. Maybe the offense will be a work in progress, but Hufanga.
Talanoa?
I call him Talanoa Hufanga.
Scouting eye. Second-year player.
That's what I'm saying. For him, for the old Zeuser to be like, whoa, the safety's making plays, that safety was making plays.
You're absolutely right. D'Amico Ryans is one of the best coordinators, but Shanahan should get some credit, too. Like, he's like Sean McVay in that I think he's good at hiring coaches. Like, the entire defensive group there since he's been there has been amazing at coaching up those players. You're right.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we preview one of the best Thursday night games of the year.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, CYMBIOTIKA.com.
All right, and this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. And yes, Matt Moneysmith will be in Kansas City on Thursday night for the 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 p.m. Pacific kickoff between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Money, of course, is the official voice of the Chargers.
We've got some breaking news related to this game.
Let's hear it.
10 seconds ago on Twitter here.
Uh-oh.
Who's it going to be? Is it J.C. Jackson related?
Is it breaking news or developing news?
I guess it's more developing news. Either way, Brandon Staley says that Keenan Allen's hamstring is going to take some time to heal.
Be smart about it. I like it. Obviously, you weren't playing on a short week after he strained it on Sunday. But the Chargers want bigger things than 8-9 this year. Get that guy right. He's so important. But
they're going to put J.C. Jackson through a jog-through, by the way.
That's good.
See from there. But that one's more up in the air.
I thought the big takeaway as we get into this game, which is a big test for the Chargers. I already feel like I know what the Chiefs are now. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are still badass. Mahomes is in line for a big year. That offense, as long as they stay healthy, are going to put up points. And they are the favorite in this division. The Chargers, to me, have a chance to make a huge statement, and I liked how a lot of the additions that we saw last week over the offseason paid out big dividends, like DeAndre Carter, who's like a who? What?
Mm-hmm.
What? He was making plays for them when Keenan Allen went out of the game. Gerald Everett, that dude can play. If you put him with a big-time quarterback, what happens? So I think their offense is going to still move the ball, Greg. Mike Williams didn't even do much last week, and they still were able to get that win against the Raiders. What do you think? Big? It does feel like a big game very early on for the Chargers.
I feel like it's too early for this game. It worries me. I think they're going to need to be a little more aggressive offensively. You know, their offense kind of went into a shell in the second half against the Raiders. Raiders did a pretty good job defensively ultimately in that game. You need to have Herbert attack these young cornerbacks. I know that the Chiefs' secret sauce defensively is Steve Spagnuolo. Just like finds any old late round pick. He's like, oh, if you're a first round pick, Trent McDuffie, I'm not even sure I like you enough. Give me my seventh round pick and my fifth round pick. I'm going to play them 30 snaps each at cornerback in week one. They played three different rookie cornerbacks over 15 snaps, two of them over 30.
More developing news, Greg.
Oh, okay.
More developing
what?
News. This out of Kansas City. Rap Sheet reports the Chiefs have placed first round pick cornerback Trent McDuffie on injured reserve with a hamstring injury, knocking him out this Thursday, and three more games. So that also informs why McDuffie was not playing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He came out early, and they ended up using Jalen Watson, I believe is his name, and then Joshua Williams, who was in the mix preseason. Jalen Watson was a seventh-round pick, and the other one a mid-round pick. So you got to be able to take advantage of those matchups, especially with Mike Williams. I know they're not as deep the Chargers as they would like at receiver without Keenan Allen, but let's see some Josh Palmer here.
This game last year, Chiefs-Chargers, it was the last TNF game that I did, and it was at SoFi Stadium.
I was
and
there.
And it went into overtime, and it was one of the best games of the entire season. At that point, I was like, how is anything going to top this game? And then obviously the playoffs happened, and it got even crazier.
And yes, that was here, so that's different than being an Arrowhead, but the Chargers should have won that game. The Chargers got turned away, went for it multiple times on fourth down, deep in Chiefs territory, and came up empty. And you came out of the game after the overtime loss like, damn, like that was their chance.
It really
late
was.
In the season.
It was like
they
Travis
made the playoffs.
Kelce.
They would have won the division.
We
very
already
possibly.
Know. Yeah, and now, you know, they don't have Honey Badger there with Kansas City. Now, I feel confident that the Chargers are going to move the ball and score points. It's just, can they get enough stops here, especially with what we saw, Connie, out of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who were completely unconscious and doing whatever they wanted against the Cardinals.
Well, Mahomes, five touchdowns, and the fact that Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert both spread the ball around with their offenses. They both targeted 9 different players. They're not just keying in on one guy. Both of these offenses can move. Both of these quarterbacks are locked in already at the start of the season. Like, this game is going to be insane. I'm so excited for it.
I am too, and you just know it's not going to be as easy for Patrick Mahomes. You know, I'm thinking back to that Thursday night game where at the end he caught on fire. Mm-hmm. But for a while, what Brandon Staley was trying to do was working. And, you know, he's the progenitor, I would even say, of like the type of defenses.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
Okay. We get it.
The type of defenses that, you know, everyone is running against Patrick Mahomes. The Cardinals did the exact opposite, decided to go like single high safety, blitz him a ton. It obviously didn't work. Right. They'll have to work the ball down the field a lot more slowly against this Chargers defense, which as I said before, I'm excited about. But I think it's going to be harder because I really think this Chiefs offense is going to be able to run the ball efficiently. That's what really caught my eye in that first game was they're using their tight ends so well to block. They're playing in a lot of really heavy formations, throwing out of that, but also running really effectively out of that. So I talked about the Chargers run defense. Let's see if that holds up for another week, because I think the Chiefs running attack is going to be legit.
We got the over under here in the desert set at 54.5. That's a high number, correct, right?
It's pretty high.
And you have the Chiefs laying the wood, 4 points here.
Four.
Yeah. So that is, I even think with, you know, our lock competition, I usually don't mess with Thursday night football because Thursday night football is weird.
And a division game like this.
But I really like them.
And Justin Herbert's playing for one of these two teams that against. Come on.
Don't the Chiefs got 6-0 written all over them to start the season right now? I know you don't want to put too much into week one. I'm not going to do it, but that's where I'm leaning. I think the Chiefs keep rolling on offense, and they're the talk of the league after
No, I think this one's going to get crazy. I think that the Chargers could surprise us.
I will be picking the Chiefs in this game on NFL.com game picks for sure. So
I'm not
pushing back too hard. But, man, Justin Herbert has 5 throws every game that are just like, what the heck? Can you make it a little easier for him? I do think sometimes it's like, why does it take so many insanely good throws to put up 24 points? I think that's the difference. I kind of trust the offensive coaching to me matches Mahomes' brilliance, where I don't know if we're there with the Chargers quite yet. Chris Jones, by the way, was just playing out of his mind in week one, and so that's something to watch too for the Chiefs.
That's a good point. I never thought of it, but that's true. Like, you don't see Justin Herbert like slinging it to wide open guys over the middle too often. It's usually turkey hole shots or, you know, from the opposite side of the field, 90-yard bombs. It's just like
he had 5 throws last week that were crazy, and then right. It's like, oh, you had 24 points, and it's like, okay.
Look at like the Monday night game yesterday, and that was a game that the Broncos scored 16 points, but so many times Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy, you know, they were finding pockets in the zone. Geno with one of his touchdowns, the guy was all by himself, really both.
Second throw was a beautiful read and over the right shoulder.
And just to be clear,
still has
that
hard
boy
eyes.
A little credit.
I'm talking about the first half, not the second half where he had 4 completions for 47 yards and they didn't score a point and basically
let the opposing team
win the game, but the opposing team literally like dropped a dump in its pants and blew it.
Let him have his moment.
I tried. I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
You came in here with like a debate stump speech. This little 44 yards thing is like, I don't care. Like, no matter what they talk about, I'm going to pivot to this topic no matter what.
In fairness, it was not 44 yards. It was 47 yards he threw for in the second half. But you know what? They wrote him off.
Wow.
And he didn't write back.
The same distance Randy Bullock's missed field goal.
Oh. You know who
Justin, you know we
graded higher than Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert by PFF in week 1, by the way?
Who's that?
Geno Smith, higher than every quarterback in the league, except for Josh Allen, number 2.
I had a, speaking of stupid stats, twisted for your own liking.
It's not twisted. That's just
a Washington Commanders fan tweet me, getting mad at me and saying, oh, you're a total piece of garbage. Carson Wentz, he was the number 5 quarterback in football. How are they not a top 10 team after they beat the Jaguars in week 1? Like, what, bro?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Maybe it was by yardage or something.
What?
This is my favorite.
What? Congratulations, though, Greg.
You did it.
That was TNF Preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video.
You've got a long season ahead now. The bar is raised here.
I am not concerned that this is going to be a season-long problem, but until the next game happens, we have no choice but to believe it as a possibility is your moment. And I'm asking you, please, Greg.
He's begging you. His hands in a prayer.
Mark returns to our show, let's just make sure we get some of this conversation into our next show, too, because I want him to have some of it. I know he missed a lot of it today.
Okay. You want him to share this pain.
Greg, write it down in your little black book here.
Here we go.
I don't think that the old Zeuser, should be the only one that had to deal with the Geno episode today.
Well, it's over now. So
the Geno season.
Congrats.
I mean, it could go incredibly south, and you guys will enjoy that.
No, but
that will. That will not take away the joy of all that happening.
Will go
when
terribly
south. When I wrote
south.
Making the Leap back in 2014, it was just on pause for the next 8
Dan,
years.
Dan, you can go home to your Geno Smith voodoo doll and get all this aggression out.
I'm telling you, it will go south, but I will say this. There's nothing that I or anyone else that's not rooting for Geno Smith can do about what happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that happened, and the rest of us just have to wear it and move on.
Right. I mean, because, look, he played two seasons, the first two seasons of his career for the freaking New York Jets.
Are we still talking about
Geno
Smith?
And that's just going to cement his career for the rest of
the time. Just like the Seahawks.
That's it. Hey, look, if you struggle with the Jets for 2 years, there's no way you could ever get better after that.
Just like the Seahawks had to move on drive after drive in the second half on Monday night.
Three drives.
Succession of three and outs.
It's a factual inaccuracy.
Move on. All right. Again, Power Rankings Podcast. It's in the ATN feed, so don't be alarmed when it lands there. Check it out. You know, I thought Connie had an especially strong episode.
I think I'm more of a second half player.
Really strong in EP2. So subscribe to that. Leave 5 stars. Leave a comment. We might even
tell
read
your friends.
Comment. Tell your friends. Greggy, you got any plugs?
No, I'm good.
I mean, what a 48 hours for Rosenthal.
I know.
What else could the man want?
I mean, I am headed to go tape the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project if you want me to throw out a plug.
Excellent.
We didn't need that.
Later. You asked.
We're going to have to cut that out of the show.
It's a great pod. It's a lot of fun.
Check out that show as well. But not if you have to choose.
No, not if you have to choose.
The Power Rankings podcast.
This. Obviously.
But choose that too.
If you want to listen to 3 podcasts, JRVP.
Yeah. Thanks, or buddy. Just like subscribe to Power Rankings.
Oh, that too. Till Thursday. Heed the call.
I always return.
Wait, can you? I want Greg
I'll
to hear
interrupted.
That. You put this on the same.
That's what you're laughing at. I always return.
I didn't.
I always return.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyers, everything they make is inspired by the garden, With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyers, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.